The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Invite you to be seated. A warm welcome to all of you. Visitors, extended family members returning home for the holidays. What a beautiful morning on many levels. However, I have to admit that I'm secretly very glad that we do not have an Easter sunrise service. Choir, amen?
Amen.
That really is where Easter begins, at sunrise, right before the first light of day when it's still dark, and I mean metaphorically too. That is, Easter begins in loss and grief, in distance from God and a sense of failure even. Now, we can't fully put ourselves into the women's shoes on that first Easter morning. But I know that many of you know something about their walk to the tomb in the dark, because I know that many of you have had loved ones who've died, or you've experienced disease that has brought an end to life as you knew it or expected it to happen, or you experienced divorce that did the same thing. We know something about brokenness and that first dark walk to the tomb. And notice that the resurrection doesn't provide a neat solution or an easy answer. Instead, there's an earthquake, shaking in shoes, and in the end, fear mixed with joy. The resurrection doesn't pretty things up. Rather, it turns things upside down. The women expect to tend to a dead body, and instead they're greeted with an earthquake and an electrifying angel. It's interesting to me that the angel's message of resurrection doesn't take away all their fear. They run to tell the others, and then, blam, in the middle of the road, Jesus meets them. It's almost as if Jesus can't wait until Galilee to meet them. He just can't help himself and instead meets them on the road. And again, they hear the message, "Do not be afraid." They were still afraid, even with the angel's message. But perhaps courage isn't simply throwing caution to the wind, as they say, but rather acting in the face of fear. And the women's fear is now colored with joy. Well, There is much to fear in our world. For example, sending your teenager on a nice little ferry ride in Korea, let's say, or taking your grandchild to a synagogue. There really is much to fear in our world. But the resurrection is the beginning of a new reality, one that isn't logical, can't be proven, but one that's been the source of joy and hope in the face of fear for 2,000 years. The resurrection changed everything. In the risen Christ eagerly meeting the women on the road, we have God's promise that life is stronger than death in the end, that love is greater than hate, that mercy wins over judgment, and that all the sufferings and difficulties of this life will have an end, even though they may be very painful in the moment. We know by the resurrection that they do not have the last word. They're not the final reality. The final reality is life and forgiveness and mercy and love. The final reality is a man abandoned and denied by his friends and disciples, killed, and not being able to wait until Galilee to meet the very ones who denied and abandoned him. And what if that man is really Emmanuel, God with us, God with skin on? The final reality is a crucified God. We'll hear next week that the risen Christ still bears his wounds. He knows our sufferings in this life. But on Easter, it's as though the crucified author of all life so brims with the joy of new life that he can't wait until morning to give us our Easter basket and wakes us up at dawn. Christ couldn't wait until Galilee. God couldn't wait until the end of time to reveal that he's for us even when we're against him. Yes, there's still sin in the world and in us and evil. We know death and grief and doubt and failure and will. But Easter is the beginning of the end for sin and selfishness, for racism and evil and brokenness. Easter is the beginning of the end of death itself. A new reality has begun. Fear and joy, despair and hope, doubt and faith. These are the two sides of our Christian life in this world. It's not neat nor pretty. But in the resurrection, we're promised that joy and hope and faith will ultimately prevail. We get to taste this final victory of forgiveness each Sunday in a hurried little communal meal with a crumbly bit of bread and a little sip of wine or grape juice. We get to hear the final victory in the word, preached or sung or trumpeted. We get to see the final victory in the angel that sits on every single tombstone. Just as in the gospel reading, imagine the next time you visit your loved one at the cemetery, even when you drive by a cemetery, imagine an angel on each grave waiting with the message, he's not here, she's not here, Christ has raised them. That's Easter, a new hope, a new day, a new reality. Amen.